Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station for this Monday, March 22nd, 2021. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook here, and tonight we are on lesson 4 of our ministerial training entitled Leadership the Jesus Way. And tonight we will be talking about what it means to be a vessel of honor in the service of the Lord. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come to your throne of grace right now, asking you to empty me of self, step into this body of clay, and use me for your purpose and your glory. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, that every minister present, Lord God, every minister that will hear this in rebroadcast, Father, I pray that they will be blessed and they will become servant leaders that will be pleasing unto you, Father, because everything that we do should point others to you and your kingdom. So use this program, oh God, to equip and edify your called and sent in Jesus' name. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the calling, acceptance, and the gifting of God's called and sent. So once we know that we have been called by God and we have accepted our calling, then we must now become servant leaders that are vessels of honor for God, that will be honored by God when we meet him face to face. In 2 Timothy verses 20 through 21, we will find these words. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hallelujah. Now, the question becomes, what are the standards? What are the qualities of those called and sent who will be honored by God for their service to him? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, because I'm going to spend a lot of time in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to start, I believe, in chapter 11 in earnest. Hallelujah. Now, the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lot to bring one out of every 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. The people commended all the men who volunteered in Jerusalem. In Nehemiah 11, we see the repopulation of the city of Jerusalem. But not only that, we see those who are honored and commended for taking the leap of faith and moving there. By reminders, chapters 1 through 6 focused on the rebuilding of the wall. In chapter 7, a census was taken of all the people living in Israel. But in that census, there was clearly a problem with the city. Nehemiah 7 and 4 says, "Now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. They had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, but only a few people were living in the city, and the buildings needed to be rebuilt. In chapters 8 through 10, there was a spiritual revival in Jerusalem. The people met often to hear the word of God and recommitted to following the word of God." Now, Nehemiah 11 is especially important because the worship of God was intricately connected to the city of Jerusalem. We must remember that not only did God call Israel to be his priest, but he had called for Jerusalem to be his capital. It was in Jerusalem that the temple was located. God's presence dwelled, and people from throughout the world would come to offer sacrifices in worship of the living God. In fact, in Nehemiah 11 and 1, Jerusalem is called the holy city. In this text, the narrator honors those who sacrificed, left home and land to build up the holy city by recording their names. They and their families was honored, as the record of their names would have been read before the nation of Israel. But these people were also honored when they initially volunteered to serve in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 11:2 says, "The people commended all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem." Similarly, this has applications for God's church. You see, one day, God will honor everyone who has labored to build his church and his kingdom to all over the world. Consider what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 4 through 5. "My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Paul said, a day is coming in which God will honor those who have served him with the right heart and with right motives. Then each person will receive their praise from the Lord. Christ taught that even the giving of a glass of water in his name will receive a reward. That's found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. In the same way that the narrator honored those who faithfully served in rebuilding the repopulating Jerusalem, God will one day honor those of us who have faithfully served in populating the new Jerusalem, heaven's capital city. With that said, it is important to recognize that not every servant will have the same honor in heaven. Consider what Christ taught in Matthew 5 and 19. He said, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus taught that there will be those who are called great in the kingdom of heaven and those who will be called least. Not everybody in the kingdom of heaven will have the same honor. In Nehemiah 11, we learn something about those who faithfully populated Jerusalem in order to help restore the worship of God in Israel. These people were honored by Israel publicly and ultimately by God as he chose to include their names in his holy word. In the same way, God will one day publicly honor all of us, his servants, who have faithfully built his kingdom here on this earth. And as we study this passage, we must ask, what are the qualities of those who will be honored for their services to the Lord? There is a day coming when those who have served God faithfully will be honored before all. God is still looking for people to restore the worship, his worship around the world, and for those who will take up this call, and they will be honored by him. So what are the qualifications or the standards of being honorable servants in God's sight? Well, one of the first things we see here in this passage is honorable servants are servant leaders are willing to lead by example. For example, the first thing this passage says, now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. And you know what? That's what initially stood out about the repopulation of Jerusalem to me, is that the leaders settled there first. No doubt this included Nehemiah, Ezra, and other leaders. Now, this is normal for most capital cities because why? Even to this day, the leadership dwells in the capital since all of the major decisions are typically made there. However, in this case, it represents more than the fact that they needed to be in Jerusalem. They were setting the example for others to follow. You see, very shortly after they settled, others were recruited to help in the repopulation process. If Jerusalem was going to be repopulated, the leaders had to lead the way. This is also true of servant leaders for the body of Christ. If worship is going to be restored in our churches, our communities, our cities, states, countries, and provinces, it must begin with true and honorable spiritual leadership. Consider how Paul challenged the Corinthians. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's found in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. You see, Paul was willing to set the example for others to follow. Likewise, those who are honored by God will always be those who are willing to be an example. You see, we must set the examples in our devotional life, in our work, in our dating relationships, in our marriages, in our finances, no matter what we do. You know, we have to do it as an example to others so that we can say, imitate me, just like Paul, in order to ultimately help people look more like Jesus. Paul told Timothy this. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. You see, Paul challenged Timothy to set an example for others. So in response to this reality, we must ask ourselves, are we really willing to be godly examples for others? Because this is an essential qualification for those of us that are going to serve in any ministry. We have to ask ourselves, do we have a spiritual life that is worthy to be modeled? Can we give others a plan on how to faithfully practice their devotional life? Can we demonstrate to others how to practice purity both in thought, in life, and in relationship? Those of us who lead, we must set an example. But not only that, many times those of us who lead must sometimes give up our own rights to better serve others in order to set the example. Nehemiah and the leaders had to give up their right of living outside of Jerusalem. Yes, it would have been safer, less work, and more comfortable if they would have lived outside of Jerusalem. But instead, they gave up their right to live comfortably and more safely in order to lead others into what was best. And that was the will of God. Paul said this, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. 1 Corinthians 8:13. Now, you think to yourself, surely eating meat is a freedom and a biblical right. But if someone was offended because of a weak conscience, then Paul said he would have stopped eating rather than allow that person to be hurt by his freedom. This is the attitude that we must have. As servant leaders of God, we must always think of others before ourselves. And at times, we have to give up our right in order to set a godly example. Now, some of you young ministers might be thinking to yourself, well, Bishop, am I free to go to the movies? Am I free to drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes? Well, God gave you free will, certainly. You know, Scripture does not clearly forbid such things. However, I want you to think about this and ask yourself this question. In my freedom, could my freedom harm someone who is weaker than me in the faith and has less discipline than me? Because this is the type of question the people that are called and sent, that are honorable and true to God, ask themselves. Paul said, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. 1 Corinthians 10:23. What he's saying is everything is a freedom for me that Scripture doesn't clearly forbid. But I must ask the right questions before I use my freedom, such as, like I said, will this practice build others up? Will it build me up? This is what keeps many from being good examples, because the only question they ask is, do I have a right to do this? Can I do that? When they should be asking, is this best for others? And will this be best for me? Or is this truly God's will for my life? You see, if we're going to be honorable before God, we must be willing to be godly examples. Not wishy-washy examples, but godly examples for others. Nehemiah and the leaders could have stayed outside of Jerusalem where the housing was better, where it was safer, but no. They wanted to be examples for others in order to accomplish God's work. And because of that, God said they were honorable and he honored them. So I'm going to, I have asked my sister, Evangelist Michelle, I told her to, she's going to be a co-teacher with me tonight because I believe what better way to help get through new ministers than to actually have a minister in training who is actually going through some of what I'm talking about right now to give her input. So at this time, I'm going to ask Michelle, in what ways, my darling Michelle, my little sister, in what specific ways do you feel that God is setting you, calling you to set examples for others?
Well, I feel he's calling me to set examples by, first of all, putting them in my life and for them coming to me for advice. By them coming to me for advice, I must give them what is the best thing for them to do. When someone comes to you for advice, you want to give them positive feedback. You don't want to give them anything negative, especially if it's a teenager or, you know, young adult, somebody just starting off in life. So, you know, when they ask me about buying a home or college, things of that nature, you know, if it's something that I'm not sure of, I'll tell them, you know, I don't know all the information. Let me go do some research, and then I'll get right back to you within a day or so. And then once I get the information, then I come back to them, because you don't want to give them the wrong information. And it's better to say, I don't know, than to give someone the wrong information.
Hallelujah. I like that answer. Also, I'm going to tell some more others of you. First of all, know that Evangelist Michelle is a very humble person, and she doesn't like talking about herself very much. But, you know, I see God calling you to leadership in your home with your children. You know, you set a godly example for them. I see you setting example for young wives because you are an excellent wife to your husband. And so, you know, in those ways, that's one of the things that I admire about you, because even since I don't have any biological children, I like to come to you and get godly counsel about children, because I know that you live godly before them. And I can even go to your children and ask for their opinion, because I know that they have absorbed who you and Pastor Jeffrey are. And so they will give me a very scriptural response and counsel. So in order for us to be honorable servants for the Lord, we first must be willing to lead by example. We cannot be standing up in the pulpit, okay, on Sunday, huffing and puffing and blowing and carrying on, knocking over chairs on Sunday, and then sleeping with everything that has on a pair of pants or a skirt Monday through Saturday.
Amen.
That's not going to work, okay? We cannot be giving counsel to people. I don't care if the Bible doesn't clearly forbid it or not. I'm not going to be sitting up calling myself giving someone counsel or ministering to anybody with a cigarette, a drink, or a joint in my hand. That's not the way my God rolls. Now, I don't know how them and their God roll, but me and my God don't roll like that. Because, see, and that which leads me to the next qualification that makes us honorable servant leaders that will be honored by God is that we are always seeking his will. I'm still reading in Nehemiah chapter 11. Now, I just told you how the people commended all the men who volunteered in Jerusalem. So the next step in the repopulation of Jerusalem was getting 110 Israelites to move into the land. How did they select the people? As I said, they cast lots, which is a lot like rolling the dice. Some have called this a draft, but it is not a draft. It is more than that. In ancient Israel, the casting of lots was a form of seeking the will of the Lord. In fact, we see the apostles used this form of seeking God's will in Acts chapter 1 when they chose the replacement for Judah. Look at what they did. I'm reading in Acts chapter 1, verses 23 through 26. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lot, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. They chose the replacement by having all the disciples propose two men who had been with Christ from the beginning of their ministry. After two people were selected, they prayed for God to make his choice clear. God's will was discerned by the casting of the lot as it fell on Matthias. This was a common method in seeking God's will used by Israel. The Israelites had a very strong understanding of the sovereignty of God. They believed that God was in control of all things, smart people. Listen to what Proverbs says. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. Every time a person throws a dice and it lands on 6 or 3, the Jew would say that this is of the Lord. There is no random chance in life. God is in control of all events. In fact, we see this with Job when Satan tested him by bringing poverty and death in his family. Even though we know Satan did it, as revealed in chapter 1, Job said, God did it. He cried out, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Job 13:15. Some today would say, nah, Job, your doctrine is all wrong. Sickness and trials do not come from God. It was Satan alone. But Scripture teaches us that God works all things in conformity with the purpose of his will. Our God is sovereign. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You see, Paul said, our God works out everything. Some translations say all things according to the purpose of his will. Now, this is a mystery that I don't claim to fully understand it. But somehow this includes the fall, sin, Satan, and everything else. You see, somehow all things fall into God's sovereign will. That's how he says, for all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and walk according to his purpose. Peter actually told the Jews who killed Jesus that they did it in according to the foreordained plan of God. Acts 2:23 says, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Peter essentially said that this was under God's sovereign control too. He told them that the worst thing that ever happened on the face of this earth was a part of God's plan. Now, I want you to understand that this, and just look at this as a side point of showing how these Jews sought the will of God by casting lots. With that said, I'm not promoting making any decisions by rolling any dice. My point is that those who will be honored by God for their service are those who continually seek God's will. Even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable, even when we don't want to hear the outcome or we think we know the outcome, if we are going to be honorable servant leaders of God, vessels of honor that God will honor, we must seek his will no matter what. If we are going to be the type of servant leaders that God will honor, we must say, like Christ Jesus, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. So I need for you to know that the primary way to seek God's will is through studying his word and praying according to his word. David said this in Psalms 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. David said that when he was seeking direction from the Lord, he realized that all he needed to do was turn the lights on in his life and get into the word. Those who live in the word of God, we have our lights on. And if we are not living God's word, we do so to our own detriment. It is impossible, absolutely impossible, to properly navigate this dark world without the light of the scripture. Now, how does the scripture help us to determine God's will? Scripture either gives us clear directions in doing God's will, or it gives us principles to help us to make the correct decision. Even if that principle is something as simple as a wise man listens to advice, Proverbs 12 and 15. You see, wise people don't make decisions on their own about marriage, career, or life without allowing wise, godly people to speak into their lives. Yes, those who will be honored by God for their service are those who seek his will and who live in his word. Not by his word, in his word. A person who does not live in the word of God is not fit for ministry. It is the word of God that equips us for God's righteousness. Without God's word, we will constantly do harm to others and to ourselves. These servants, we are servants that continually seek the Lord's will in for everything. But unfortunately, saints of God, there's a lot of servant leaders that don't do this. I want you to listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 21. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Well, that pretty much describes how most Christians are. They seek their own interest instead of the interest of Jesus. Paul said that he had no one else like Timothy because Timothy sought the will of Christ. And even though he worked with many churches and many Christians, he still sought the will of Christ. Those of us who really look out for the interest of Christ are few. However, we are the ones that will be honored. So, excuse me, Evangelist Michelle, I want you to explain to the new ministers how the Word of God has blessed you and made you feel sufficient in what you are doing.
Well, the Word of God has blessed me in many ways. It made me feel sufficient in many ways, because back when I used to, I didn't feel whole. And now with God in my life and studying on a daily basis, I feel whole. I feel complete. And not just me, my whole family, we feel complete. We were always close, but now we have a closeness like none other. We're even more close. So the Word of God brings people together. It bridges gaps. When he said the comforter, it's a comfort. It's to have the Word in your life, because the Word of God is a comforter. In the midnight hour, you can't sleep. You pick up that Word and you get to reading, and it's the best anything, the best love story. People read books all the time. It's the best love story. It's the best thriller. It's the best story with excitement. It's all different thriller. It's all those books rolled into one. So that's basically, it's given me so much joy. The Word of God has just given me so much joy and excitement and fulfillment in my life, where once it was not, I didn't have as much fulfillment. Sometimes I felt like giving up, and now I just feel like going on. It's caused me to branch out and do things that I thought I would never do, like my nonprofit. I thought I would never do it, and just being shy or thinking, having that it's not going to work mentality. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And God said, believe in me, and I did. And now, it's up and going. So, it gives you, you have put your faith in God, and all things are possible. So that's how it's helped me.
Amen. Hallelujah. And ministers, saints of God, brothers and sisters, I am really breaking this down because, look, if we don't get these principles right, if we're not clear about what we're supposed to be and what our standards should be, we start off on the wrong foot. And unfortunately, far too many times, we stay on the wrong foot. Mm-hmm. So we've seen so far that we're going to lead. If we're going to be true servant leaders, we're going to be leading by example. We're going to be living in the Word of God, because we're going to be seeking God's will for everything. And then the next thing that my sister alluded to was, we have to be obedient to his word. Okay? There's no point of us reading the word if we're not going to be obedient to the word, because as we see, not only did these people cast lots and went to repopulate Jerusalem, but they were obedient, because they knew. I'm telling you, they understood who God was. They understood his sovereignty. So, you know, they knew that whatever God said, they had to obey. You know? They had to obey, and they volunteered. You know, because back then, if you cast a lot and they asked them, did they want to go? And they said no, because God still gave them free will choice, even if they had was chosen. All they would do was they would just simply cast the lots again and see who God would choose next. But everybody that cast lots and it fell on them, they volunteered. So the people commended them. They honored them. See, it's one thing to seek the will of God, but it's another thing to obey the will of God. See, a lot of us, we love to talk about, I'm seeking the Lord's counsel. I'm seeking the Lord's counsel. But really, we're not. Because when we hear God's counsel, and if we don't like what we hear, we do what we want anyway. But I need you to hear this. God is always calling people to serve him. He calls them to go to missions. He calls them in great ways. But if they turn him down, God may give that opportunity to someone else. We saw this with Saul. God called him to be king and to obey God as his vice regent over Israel. But Saul disobeyed God and refused to serve him. And therefore, Scripture says that God saw after another who would obey him. That's 1 Samuel 13 and 14. Yes, God calls many of us to serve him, working with the children, to serve in feeding the homeless, to serve in being advocates for others, to serve as prayer warriors and intercessors, to serve as people that are encouragers and edifiers, exhorters. You know. But the good thing about God is that he is gracious and merciful. One of the most wonderful verses in Scripture is Jonah 3:1. After Jonah had said no, and God had disciplined him through a storm, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God's word came to Jonah a second time, and this time Jonah was, after sitting in that belly of that whale, he was more than ready to obey. Are you willing to obey the Lord? Because those who are considered honor vessels of honor that will be honored by God are those of us who live a lifestyle of obedience. It will be those of us who have strived to be holy because we know that God is holy. And I did not say, and note that I did not say holier than thou. I said holy, which means we are living according to the word of God. Because it will, and this leads us to our next standard or qualification. Those of us who have been called and sent, and we want to be our vessels of honor that will be honored by God, then we must be willing to sacrifice sometimes. Sometimes we just got to be uncomfortable, just like the leaders in Nehemiah. They were uncomfortable as all get out, you know, but they had to do this to be leaders. And I want you to understand this. The very reason that a whole lot of people can't serve the Lord and won't be honored by him is because they're not willing to be comfortable, uncomfortable. Mm-mm. They are not willing to step out of their comfort zone and do what God says. You know, and I'm trying to tell you something, in these days and these times, many times God is going to call us to step out of our comfort zone. Now, he's not calling us to do something we could do in our own power, but he's calling us to do something that can only be done through him. Therefore, following God always leads us out of our comfort zone. It is no surprise then to see in Scripture so many people make excuses when they were called. Moses, I can't speak. Gideon said, well, I'm from the smallest tribe. Let me just explain something to you, ministers. If God calls us, he calls us to do something not based on our ability or our size, but he calls us to do something that is God-sized and outside of our ability. Amen. You know, we need to know and understand that if we are going to be considered honorable, we must be about building up God's house, and we better be about building up God's house, and we need to be willing to serve without any glory, without any compensation. We need to be going ye therefore out into all the world looking for people who are looking for Jesus. And we ain't looking to see our name on a program. We don't need to see our name on a marquee. We don't need none of that. All we are going to do is say, send me, Lord, I'll go. Send me, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. I want to help build your kingdom. You see, ministers, servant leaders, God is not looking at your ability. God is looking at your availability. And when we are living in him, when we are living according to his word by the power of his Holy Spirit, guess what? We don't have anything to boast in. All of our gifting comes from God. All of our equipping comes from God. All of our provisions to do what he called us to do comes from him. So what we look like wanting to be glorified and honored now? You see, the honor, the vessel of honor serves humbly anywhere and any way that they can. You know. So the question I ask you, young minister, is are you willing to build up God's kingdom? Are you willing to serve without ever being named, without ever receiving applause or earthly recognition? Because, see, those are the kind of people that God is looking for. I'm going to tell you something. I call them, see, I say there's two kinds of servant leaders. There's the light, camera, action servant leader. You know, as soon as they see that little red button come on, they on, okay? Whether they live it or not, they on. And then there's those in the trenches servant leaders. Those are the ones that will roll up their sleeve. Those are the ones that don't just tell people to evangelize. They go out and lead them onto the battlefield to evangelize. You see, you know, we have to be the kind of servant leaders that just don't stand in a pulpit and tell people how to live. We have to show people how to live. We've got to live in that word. We've got to be obedient to it. And we have to know that we don't need no glory. If we are going to be the kind of servant leaders that God wants, we have to be that way. And, ministers, we also have to learn to respect those that God has placed in authority over us. We can't, see, I'm going to tell you something. The best leaders know how to follow. You cannot be a leader if you don't know how to follow Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You see? So, I say, we have to be about prayer, intercession, thanksgiving for everyone, including those that are in authority. We want to pray for those that are in authority. We need to obey the laws, you know. We have to, we can't just go out and do what we want to. We can't go out and, you know, break a window and go into a Dunkin' Donuts because we want a cup of coffee. Well, I'm a child of God, and he said I can have whatever I want. No, he didn't. We have to pray for those leaders, whether we agree with them or not. We have to know that as we are going to be honorable in the sight of God, we must think like God, act like God, move like God, feel like God, love like God. We have to consider things as God considers things. I can tell you that here in this ministry, people do not understand how long I sit and I pray and I think and I pay attention, because I'm asking God, as a servant leader of this ministry, how I am to make sure that each and every person, each and every member that he has sent becomes the very best them that he wants them to be. And I learned how to love like that from my husband, Monty, because on our wedding day, I remember he said, "Lord, if you allow Shalene to become my wife, I will see to it that she becomes everything that you want her to be." And I take that, I brought that same attitude with me to Spirit Alive. You know, I sit up and I even pay attention to the cadence of someone's voice. I understand that if a certain person is going to come on, whether or not I should play a short song or a long song. You know, the little things that most people don't even think of. But I think of them because I want to enhance, to encourage, to equip, to empower every servant leader here to do their best. And do I need glory? Mm-mm. Nope. And just ask my Spirit Alive family. They'll tell you Bishop Cook will have somebody preach at the drop of a dime. Because Bishop Cook don't care who get the credit as long as God gets the glory. Because, see, we are striving to be servant leaders that are first committed to lead by example. We are servant leaders that are committed to seeking God's will for our life. We are servant leaders that are willing to obey every word of God. We are willing to sacrifice and to be uncomfortable. Why? Because we want to build up God's kingdom. We want to build up God's house. And we don't need our name on no plaque. We don't need our name on the side of a building to do it. Because we are committed to respecting and loving God. So I'm going to stop here for tonight, because next week we're going to be talking about the heart of a true servant leader. Tonight, I've given you some things, some principles, some standards, some qualifications that you must make sure that you have before you seriously consider entering ministry. Now, at this time, I'm going to allow the saints of God to come on in. Mother Mac T is also in the house with us, but right now, I'm going to ask my little co-teacher for this evening, my lovely co-teacher for this evening, Evangelist Michelle, do you have anything else that you would like to share with the other students?
No, ma'am.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Mother Mattie, come on in the room. I just want to say hi to you because I love you. Lord, everybody quiet. Well, praise the Lord. Thanks to God. Well, I pray that all of you have received a lot from this program. I hope that I have not, that it was clear. I pray in the name of Jesus that if you do have any questions, hallelujah. Oh, here go Mother Matthew. Yes, ma'am. Hi, Mother Matthew.
Hi, Bishop Cook. Hi, Bishop Cook. God bless you all. Evangelist Michelle Scott and all the Spirit Alive family, God bless you all. Love you all. I tell you, I love the way you teach, the way you talk. The ministry program, God bless you. I tell you, you go above and beyond, and you really enlighten you enlighten everyone. Everyone you enlighten. You know, God bless you all. I mean, it's really wonderful. It's really wonderful. You're talking about Job. Because I love Job. And what I love about Job, he was so faithful to God. He was so faithful.
Yes.
He was so faithful. Yeah, he was faithful. Out of all he lost, he still kept his faith in
yes,
God.
He did.
And that's what we have
that's
to do.
It.
We have to keep our faith
that's
in
it.
God. No matter
Amen,
what.
Amen, Mother Mattie.
Yeah, because God is worthy. He's just worthy. He's worthy to be praised.
Yes,
he
ma'am.
He's worthy. So I just thank God every day.
And I'm glad
God
that you gave
you.
That
I
word.
I thank God for you, Bishop Cook. And I thank God
you,
for
mother.
You, too, Evangelist Scott, and the Spirit of the Life team. God bless you all. Because we're living
God bless
in
you,
a,
Mother
Matthew. We're living in a sinful world, and people need to give
yes.
their lives to Jesus. They need to give their
yes,
lives to
amen.
Jesus. And I constantly pray for the lost souls. So that's what we
yes,
got to
ma'am.
Do.
Yes,
so God
ma'am. We'll see
you
on
I
your
thank
post,
you.
Though.
I love you. I love you because you give everybody a chance. God bless you.
God bless you, Mother Mattie.
And
I love you.
You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this, Bishop Cook. I had to go to the store today. I'm on the bus, in the store, and everywhere else, listening to your program.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's faithfulness right there. Hallelujah. See, if some of us
I'm
minister,
on the 18 now. I'm on the 18 bus. So I'm
all
now.
Right. Roll on in, Mother. Roll on in with the Spirit Alive Network. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we love
ma'am.
You so
yes,
much.
Ma'am.
And I just want you to, I want to thank Evangelist Michelle because she is also faithful and she has a heart after God's own, and I just want to say thank you, Evangelist Michelle, for just allowing me to ask you to come in and help me co-teach and speak to the young ministers, because it's very important that we make sure that we start out right. And one of the reasons why I'm taking my time with this is because I personally don't want to see anyone that I love out of order before God. I want every minister to understand their gifts so they can be in the proper lane. I want every minister to know that they're called, to know that they know that they know they have been called so they can be fearless and understand that it's not about what you know or what your abilities may be, or whether or not you've attended a seminary. It's about you making yourself completely available to God by living in his word. When God's word lives in us, resonates in us, It will illuminate from us. We won't have to run around telling people, well, I'm evangelist so-and-so. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm a pastor so-and-so. You know what? I'm like Mother Mattie. I used to be on A. Clara AC Transit all the time, and I never once, and every once in a while, I would see an older lady or a pregnant lady get on the bus, and I have a rod in my leg, but I would get up and let them have my seat. And the first thing that lady would ask me was, are you a pastor? Not a Christian. Are you a pastor? And I would look at them, and I'd say, now, how did they know I was a pastor? And some of them would say, I just watch how you interact with people. You know, I watch how you draw people and you get people talking. And she said, pastors do that. It's like you got this whole little front section on, you know, just hanging on your every word. So what I'm saying is, that's not to say, oh, I'm all of that. That's to say God's all that. So if we just settle down and focus on the standards of being honorable servants, just doing the right thing for the right reason, God can use us greatly. So I just thank you all for listening tonight. Next week, we will be talking about the heart of a true servant leader. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook for our ministerial training class, Leadership the Jesus Way. I want to thank my dear sister, Evangelist Michelle. I want to thank Mother Mattie for her beautiful words of encouragement. And I want to thank all of you that are here in the chat room and in the studio for listening. And again, if you have any comments or questions, you can inbox me on Messenger. You can reach me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Hey, now, I think I got them all. Or Skype. I think I got them all about cover. Hallelujah. So just let me know, and I will be more than happy to answer your questions. And please, if during the lesson something is not clear to you, I want you all to feel free to press your one. That'll be like raising your hand and asking your question, because I just want us all to get it right. So I just want to thank you again. God bless you. I pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, that he continues to bless you in your ministries as you go forth. And it's from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone, and God bless you. Amen. Love you.
Good night. God bless you. Love you, too.